You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Goldhammer must be pretty high on that list because I've got him tonight filling in for Ian and tomorrow night. Goldhammer filling in for Ian as well. Look at that double duty back to back. You're moving on up.
Either that or no one else was available. So you can look at it any way you want because here I am. You're stuck with me for the next two nights on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
On ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We are happy to have you. And we are happy that we are having you during this legal tampering period as we head towards free agency. This 52-hour window that we are still very squarely in as we head towards the official start tomorrow. What does it mean? It means that a whole lot of conversations, frankly, that had already happened before the last 40-whatever hours it's been. They finally came to fruition. We put pen to paper and everybody is on the move. That's the craziest thing about this period. I feel like this one, and maybe I say this every year, who knows, but I feel like this one is more active than other years because it feels like to me as we've headed into free agency, every name that we were talking about being available has now actually switched teams. And that's not normal. We don't normally see that.
Well, I think that some of it has to do with the increase in the salary cap, Amber, because I think there's just a lot of money to spend and there are a lot of teams trying and looking and praying to get better. I will always caution everyone, though, right? The reality is the teams that win this week in March, generally speaking, aren't winning in January and February. What have the Kansas City Chiefs done other than retain their own guy? What have other big teams, the San Francisco 49ers, what are the big moves that they're making? So a lot of these teams that are making moves now, I always kind of look at it skeptically because a lot of these free agent signings create a bunch of hype for a team in March, and then it doesn't actually end up manifesting itself come September, October, November when the games actually start getting played.
Well, you're making me feel a little bit better about things because as a Miami Dolphins fan, up until today, but yesterday in particular was a bloodbath. It's gotten a little bit better here today. But when you have a team that is trying to get under the cap and is in a bad situation, it's right. Always going to be ugly on the first day that they can start getting rid of everybody. And then you see, of course, those people who the players that you're somewhat attached to, and then they go to these other teams. And even though the teams are way overpaying and you know that your team wouldn't have been in a position to pay that money, there's still something from a fan perspective that's a little disheartening to see at all. And so Derrick Henry ends up being one of those guys for the Tennessee Titans fan. We've been going through this for years, though, with Henry. Right, where I feel like we've been having the conversation, are they going to part ways with Derrick Henry now for the last few years? Some of that's just the nature of the situation or the position, even though he's an incredible back. And a year ago, the Ravens were talking about trading for Derrick Henry. Well, now they've got their guy without actually trading for him. 30-year-old Henry, he gets $16 million from Baltimore. He can earn a maximum of $20 million over the next 2 years when you include incentives in that deal, and he is a Baltimore Raven.
You know, I think, Amber, that this has the potential to be one of the most impactful or the most impactful move in free agency, period. Because I think Baltimore lost a little bit of their identity as they were trying to build Todd Monken's offense and had a great regular season. But I think we all watched that AFC Championship game and we're wondering to ourselves, why aren't they just getting physical and running the ball? Derrick Henry gives them that sense of physicality. And with Lamar Jackson and Keaton Mitchell and the read option, he's not going to have to carry the ball 25 times a game, but I think he fits so well in this division in the AFC North. I don't think he has to run for 2,000 yards, but I think he gives the Ravens a different dynamic and dimension than what they've had in the past, and I think he fits what they're looking for perfectly. I think this is a really good signing for Baltimore, and I think it just makes what was already the best division in football, where all four teams were over 500 in the AFC North last year, I think it just makes the AFC North even better.
Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Derrick Henry gives them that workhorse in the backfield, and it doesn't all have to be on Lamar Jackson trying to do running back caliber things out there, right?
Yeah.
We know, right. And what's interesting is, of course, the identity problems that we saw. And that's a thing with this Baltimore team, although with the OC now, an excellent regular season, there weren't those growing pains early on that we thought that there might be adjusting to that Todd Monken system. And then, like you said, they got away from the run there at the end and it really hurt them. And Lamar Jackson even seems stiff. But now Derrick Henry can shoulder some of that load. So even though D. Henry is 30 years old, right? And that's like ancient, not compared to me and you.
It's old for a running back. It's not old for a person, but it's
not for a person.
It's like 85 or 90 for a running back, right?
For a running back. He's still a running back that obviously produces. And this actually makes him one of the highest paid backs in the NFL. So that is what Baltimore thinks about him. Joe Fortenbaugh, host of a show called Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio, my former co-host, and then he flew away like a little bird to Daypart. He says that this is the perfect fit for Baltimore.
Baltimore's problem is whether or not they can get the job done in the postseason. That is where you're going to want Derrick Henry fresh. You need to take as much pressure off the shoulders of quarterback Lamar Jackson as humanly possible when you get to the playoffs, because he is not the type of guy who can put a franchise on his shoulders and carry them through a minimum of three, maximum of four playoff games against elite competition. He's not that guy. People want to believe he is. Maybe somewhere down the line he'll show that. To date, he is not. Excellent regular season quarterback, average playoff quarterback. Bringing in a guy like Derrick Henry gives you someone to lean on.
And there's nothing about average about Derrick Henry in the regular season or in the postseason. And I agree with Joe, though. It's not really about the regular season for this Ravens team, because this team was already a good regular season team. It's about getting it done in the postseason and hoping that he can save himself enough to do that, because there are a lot of miles on Derrick Henry. You're talking about a back that has topped 1,000 rushing yards in five of his last 6 years.
Jeez.
But I do think it's wild. But I do think he's still got something left. I mean, a lot left in the tank, frankly. Even just last season, he had more yards after contact than any other back in the league.
There you go. And I don't think they're going to be relying on him for a heavy workload, but I think that finally the Ravens are now in a place where they don't need Lamar Jackson to be their best quarterback and their best running back both. You know, I think that's a lot to ask as he gets older and as he tries to carry that weight, not just in a regular season game against the Tennessee Titans, but also in a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, I don't know that I believe that Lamar will always be a playoff failure. I think a move like this is a key to trying to unlock him a little bit in the postseason. And then I also don't forget, Keaton Mitchell is still there coming off of that injury. You remember there were like 2 weeks where this was the most electric player in the NFL, right? And he's going to be coming back. So imagine you look at a full backfield of Lamar's taking the snap. Is he handing off to Derrick Henry? Is he handing off to Keaton Mitchell? Are they running a jet sweep to Zay Flowers? Will Henry throw the ball a little bit? There's so much they can do now in this offense. It becomes so multidimensional, it's really scary. And again, I think this is a great move. It pains me to say because I'm in Cleveland, and I don't want the Baltimore Ravens to get better, but this is a pretty sick move for an already really good Ravens offense.
Yeah, and it's the offense under Monken that can be multidimensional here, not just Lamar Jackson with it being multidimensional in his game, but he's actually got the weapons around him for the entire offense now to be multidimensional. I think it's an excellent move for Baltimore, even if you're talking about a 30-year-old back. And frankly, I feel good for the running back position generally, because we're not far removed from, was it Saquon who was trying to lead like his own union of running backs or whatever those talks were and all that stuff, right? I mean, it seemed like
they've all signed, like 10 have changed teams over the course of the last 48 hours.
And they're getting paid, you know? I mean, not like crazy, but they're getting paid.
I think the league maybe has realized that they have some value. So it's a good day overall for the running back position. You know, I think too here that it is worth saying that going all the way back to when they, you know, obviously the Ray Rice situation blew up on them, the Ravens really have not had that big time go-to back. They tried J.K. Dobbins. He can't stay healthy. Gus Edwards is fine, but nothing super special. You know who their best running back has been? Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So now anything absolutely they can do to try to give him some support I think come playoff time, because he could do it in the regular season, but come playoff time, I think is a major, major move for the Ravens.
So a big upgrade there for Baltimore. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. There's also been lots of quarterback movement here over the last couple days, including possibly Aaron Rodgers.
What?
We'll explain next here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We've got some men's hoops action, championship action that we are going to keep you updated on all throughout Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. Aaron Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. We've got the Barbasol Horizon League Championship between Milwaukee and Oakland. That right now is on ESPN. Oakland's leading that one 20-16 in the first. We'll keep you updated there. The CAA Championship between Stony Brook and Charleston. That one is advantage right now, Charleston 10-9 in a close game. And the Northeast Conference Championship is Wagner and Merrimack. That is on ESPN2 right now, with Wagner leading the way 16-11. Aaron Goldhammer, you consider yourself a mascot aficionado.
Yes.
Name the mascots.
Okay, Milwaukee, the University of Milwaukee Panthers. Okay.
Wow, you're right. His name is Pounce. Pounce the Panther.
Okay, Oakland is some sort of bear. And by the way, Oakland is in Michigan and not in California, which is often confusing for people. But I think they're the Oakland Grizzlies or something like that?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, and his name, I believe, is Pioneer Pete. But you're right, the mascot does appear to be a grizzly bear.
Okay.
To be exact.
Yes, they are, but the actual mascot itself, apparently, I don't know why he'd be named Pioneer Pete. The point is, yes, he's a bear, apparently.
This is hard. The College of Charleston and the CAA, the Charleston Chew, the Charleston Can-Cans, that one I don't know. Stony Brook is some kind of wolf or something.
That's true, actually. Wolfie, the sea wolf, is okay. Stony Brook. Okay,
so Stony Brook sea wolves?
This is bizarre. This is bizarre that you know any of these, by the way.
Okay,
Clyde the Cougar was Charleston's mascot.
The Cougars. I didn't know the Cougars. Dang.
Still got Wagner and Merrimack.
Okay, Merrimack, I have no idea. I'm shooting from the hip. The Merrimack Merriman. And
I think it's Mac the Warrior is the mascot for Merrimack.
Yeah, and the Wagner, I think, is some sort of bird. I think it's the Wagner Eagles or something. I think I've done a game of Wagners at some point.
Wow. Close. Wrong bird, but you are in the bird category. It is the Wagner Seahawks.
Oh, the Seahawks. Okay. Well, good luck to everybody tonight. Tickets to the NCAA tournament on the line, Amber.
Yeah, excellent mascot knowledge there from Aaron Goldhammer.
Thank you.
Again, Goldhammer filling in tonight for Ian here.
Can I be transparent? I cheated on a couple of them. Just straight up cheated.
Just straight up Googled?
Was looking at the icons on the ESPN.com page as you were walking through it with me.
I was thinking, this is way too good. Like, you're way too good at this. This is weird. You're spending too much time on these small schools.
I totally cheated. But anyway, back to you, Amber.
But the guilt overwhelmed you, so you had to confess.
We're ESPN. We have to be credible with our knowledge of the Merrimack mascot or whatever.
You know, live audience know. Is booing you. Know, you.
People trust us.
So.
We're the worldwide leader in sports anytime, anywhere, Amber.
Yes, we are the worldwide leader. And speaking of worldwide leaders, because I don't
that's
know how else to transition.
That's,
yeah. That's why they pay me the big bucks around here.
You nailed that transition, for sure.
Speaking of worldwide leaders, let's hop over to politics. No, but Aaron Rodgers is apparently...
Pay attention.
Amber and Ian, Aaron Rodgers Watch.
We haven't had one of these in a while. Because Aaron, things have been real quiet on the Aaron Rodgers front. And if you
today.
Think about it, I hadn't even noticed... Goldhammer, I hadn't even noticed. I mean, we haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers in a while. And frankly, why the heck would we, right? I mean, we know he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Jets next season. He's coming back from an Achilles injury. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Well, is he? Or does he just want us talking about him because he's thinking, hey, this legal tampering period, there's way too many storylines happening and none of them involve me, so let's go ahead and get myself back in the news. And boy, has he. So apparently, there are reports that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is eyeing making Aaron Rodgers his running mate for vice president. So RFK Jr. would run for president in this scenario, and Aaron Rodgers would be vice president, running for vice president in this scenario. Your
Triple
thoughts, Aaron Goldhammer.
ESPN, would you vote for Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Let's go political, Amber. Let's do it.
No. Nay,
look,
nay.
There is a football story buried in here somewhere, Amber, because, okay, first of all, what you said about attention, I think is so right on the money. I think Aaron Rodgers was sick of not hearing about Aaron Rodgers enough. And you watch. There's that show that comes on ESPN at noon every single day. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Aaron Rodgers making an appearance on that show at some point later this week. I don't have any inside information on that. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be surprised. I think this is all about Aaron Rodgers wanting to make it more about Aaron Rodgers. And if you're a fan of the New York Jets, you've now been waiting for over a year for Aaron Rodgers to really make his full-fledged debut. He played four plays. He tore his Achilles. He created a bunch of drama. He didn't throw the ball. Your team stunk and was unwatchable. And now you just want a nice, quiet offseason of Aaron Rodgers' rehab and getting back on the field so that maybe he can deliver for you. And there's a story on the top of ESPN.com about him being a candidate for vice president of the United States. I'm sorry. If I'm a Jet fan, this is just about the last straw. Amber, I am thinking about Tyrod Taylor, and I'm thinking about taking a quarterback in the draft now if I'm the Jets. Because, I don't know, can you trust this guy that he's going to show up tomorrow and work hard and deliver? Or are you worried that he's going to be on the campaign trail and not on the football field in September?
Goldhammer has Aaron Rodgers going on McAfee and announcing...
Yes.
His running for vice president. That's what you have happening.
Would you not believe, Amber? Is this for real? This is the New York Times is reporting this.
This is for real. We now have it. We waited. We were all joking about this all day, and then we waited, and it is on ESPN.com as the head story now. So we are in the clear to bring this thing up. This is for real. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers is very much in the consideration to be a vice presidential running mate.
This now, free agent season,
here's
Aaron Rodgers is signing with the government. Amber,
the government, right. The United States of America. So here's the thing. He said in an interview recently that he was so upset that he didn't get this season with the Jets because of the Achilles injury, where he said that he wants to play two or three more years with the Jets at this point. He's under contract through 2025. What's up, James? You're trying to break in here. What am I doing?
No. I thought what you were going to bring up was him earlier in the offseason saying that they needed to get the BS out of the...
Get rid of the distractions. There are too many distractions.
Here's that right now.
If you want to be a winning organization and to put yourself in position to win championships and be competitive, everything that you do matters. And the bullshit that has nothing to do with winning needs to get out of the building. So that'll be the focus moving forward.
Has nothing to do with winning the presidency, or has nothing to do with winning football games, or has nothing to do with winning what?
Did not specify.
That is true. He did leave that open-ended, in fairness to Al Aaron. So maybe he was trying to teach us that his focus was actually going to be on winning a vice presidential candidacy here. But he said he wants to play with them for, you know, 2 or 3 more years, that he essentially wants a mulligan for this past season, that he's all in, that he's dedicated, that he's focused on this New York Jets team and helping them win a championship. And there is nothing focused about this. And in all reality, Goldhammer, and this is not a comment on Aaron Rodgers at all or anything that he should do in his life. Like, if you want to retire and go into politics, cool, go do it. You've got the rest of your life to do whatever the hell you want, and you've certainly gotten a, you earned a high profile, and so there will be a lot of suitors, whatever you want to do from here on out. Yeah. But you can't do this. You can't continue to straddle the fence where you're a distraction to this organization, and there's no way that you can run on an active ticket for a presidency and also be all in and committed to the New York Jets at the quarterback position. It doesn't make sense.
They need help at offensive line and receiver and all these other places. Their defense, you know, can continue to get bolstered. But, Amber, ultimately, they're going nowhere with this Aaron Rodgers albatross that they have now hanging around their necks. They went all in for him, and there's only one way out. And I just, knowing the way he reacts to things, remember the Packers drafted a quarterback and he went and won the MVP. I'm just saying, you want to refocus Aaron Rodgers, take a quarterback at 10 if you're the Jets. Then all of a sudden his focus won't be on a presidential ticket
We've
anymore.
We've seen that before. Uh-huh. That's true. He'll win 2 back-to-back MVPs on the way to getting disgruntled, though. It'll work out in the long run. We're going to head to Atlanta coming up next year on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Little Law and Order. This theme song does things to me, Goldhammer. Excellent show, Law and Order. The original, by the way, the OG Law and Order, the most realistic of the Law and Orders, although none of them are so realistic in terms of timeline there on how things are done. But the reason that we're playing the Law and Order theme song, that Aaron Goldhammer right now filling in for Ian, Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive. Goldhammer is somehow jamming out to Law and Order, by the way. He's dancing to this Law and Order theme song.
It's got a great goob. Listen to that bass. It's hot.
We are playing this because our friend Harry Douglas, he was stuck in jury duty yesterday. So we didn't get him on air yesterday when we had huge news to unpack about the Atlanta Falcons acquiring Kirk Cousins. The irony there, HD. The irony that you're stuck in jury duty on the day that all of ESPN is wanting your comments on old Kirky.
Yeah, it was... No, I didn't get selected, and, you know, I can't say I'm, you know, not happy that I didn't get selected, but I'm happy that I did not get selected for jury duty moving forward, because it wasn't going to be a short one, it was going to be a long one, and I probably would have missed multiple weeks of work.
Wow.
See, I was that dork. I got selected for a jury in college, and I was so excited. And I ended up getting voted for the 4-person of the jury. And, like, it was, like, the best couple of days of my life. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I should go to law school.
Amber, you suck up to the judge and everything.
That was the indicator. I was like, I should probably go to law school. Like,
Harry, how did you find out about Cousins? Were you, like, stuck in a courtroom somewhere and your phone started blowing up?
No, I was actually in the waiting room. Well, first I was, you know, through my connections and, you know, we were waiting on Kirk Cousins to let the Minnesota Vikings know what he was going to do, which direction he was going to move in. And once I got word that he wasn't going to, you know, be returned to the Minnesota Vikings, I knew it was going to happen. It was a matter of the news, you know, being broke. And I was sitting in the waiting room. And here's what's crazy about me sitting in the waiting room. There's an older gentleman beside me. And when I started talking, I was on the phone because you're allowed to talk on the phone while you're waiting and stuff. And another guy behind me was like, man, let me tell you this. He was like, I was mad this morning. I told my wife I was going to miss Get Up. But now that I see you here, I'm all good. I'm okay. Like, I got you here. Right? I was like, okay, cool.
He had his own Get Up in person.
But the guy beside me was like, now I know who you are. He was like, I listen to your show at least 3 times a week. So the guy sitting beside me, he listened to the show. The guy behind me watched me when I was so Get Up. So we just started talking about free agency and ways that the Falcons could go, what it would mean they were able to get Kirk Cousins. And then things, boom, it happened. And you talk about the excitement. But it was about 60 plus of us jurors for the case that we all got selected for. Not the selected, the 12 or 14, but, you know, it was 60 plus of us. But we were able in our breaks, man, to be able to talk about everything that was happening in free agency or whatnot. And I was able to, you know, sneak off and do an interview on Freddie and Harry. So that was pretty cool, too.
Don't let the government know about that one. Harry Douglas joining us here on Amber and Ian Goldhammer filling in tonight. Of course, you can hear Harry on Freddie and Harry every Monday through Friday here on ESPN Radio. So obviously, so you're doing jury duty in Atlanta. So all the potential jurors are freaking out when they get the Kirk Cousins news. This is a monster contract, though. So let's just talk numbers before we even get into the football aspect of this. $180 million, 4 years, and almost $100 million of that is guaranteed. HD, were you surprised by the price tag for a quarterback that's going to be 36 years old coming off of an Achilles?
No, because in actual reality, the contract is not as bad as people are really making it seem. When you look at the average annual salary of quarterbacks, of top flight quarterbacks in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins isn't, you know, close to that number, in my opinion. When you look at the guaranteed money over the next 3 years, it's $45 million in 2024, $45 million in 2025, and then he's guaranteed $10 million in 2026. Well, if you're just looking at the guaranteed money, that's $33.3 million per year in those first 3 years of guaranteed money. So that's the way I'm looking at it, Amber.
Harry, does he make the Falcons a bona fide contender for what?
So with the Atlanta Falcons now, the way they're constructed, and that's without, you know, what they're going to do in the draft, who else they're going to bring in the free agency. Mm-hmm. I expect this team, number one, to win the NFC South and also at least get to a divisional round. And when you add other pieces to the puzzle, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they're able to win a divisional round and play in an NFC championship game. We know how all kind of things could go. Once you get into the playoffs, you get into the dance, you have a chance. But I do expect this team to win the NFC South. Hell, they should have won it the last 2 years with incompetent quarterback play amongst their roster. And now you add a Kirk Cousins who's going to be able to unlock a Kyle Pitts. And that's one of the main things in this whole ordeal. And, you know, there are mixed emotions in Atlanta. There are some people that wanted Justin Fields, the Falcons to trade for him. There's some people that wanted Kirk Cousins. But here's the thing, what we have to understand about the type of offensive system that Atlanta is running. It's a Shanahan-type system, right? Sean McVay, those guys, they run the same system. Mm-hmm. What I've learned amongst that system, and even when I talked to Matt Ryan, when he was in that system for the first year, that first year, man, you're trying to grasp things, and you're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Year two is when the offense really hit. So that's pivotal for Kirk Cousins because he spent majority of his career in this offensive system. So now you have a guy that's coming to the Atlanta Falcons to help unlock this talent and help teach versus a Justin Fields coming into the offense and trying to learn it and taking a year or so before it actually starts to click for him. Because remember with Aaron Rodgers, with Matt LaFleur in that year one, they had success, but remember it wasn't all peaches and cream when it came to the system or whatnot. And Aaron Rodgers trying to, you know, figure out if he wanted to do more of what he wanted to do or do what Matt LaFleur wanted to do. It wasn't all peaches and cream for Kyle Shanahan when he first got to San Francisco. That's just the nature of the offensive system. So you know, I made this analogy the last few weeks. What good is a Ferrari if you don't have an engine to put in it? And for me, Kirk Cousins is the engine to the Ferrari. That's Kyle Pitts, that's Drake London, that's Bijan Robinson, that's Tyler Allgeier. When you look at Minnesota and what Kirk Cousins was able to do with the weapons that they had, TJ Hockenson, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Now, those guys are really good talents, but what good is a talent if you don't have anyone that can get them the football? And that's what the Atlanta Falcons have gone through the last 2 years.
Peaches and cream. Such a good old school 112 reference there.
Peaches and cream.
Still slaps, HD. Still slaps that song. So I would imagine, though, bringing in that veteran presence as opposed to going with a young quarterback that's still developing like the Justin Fields of the world might not just be just to try to help out your young talent, the Bijan Robinsons and Drake Londons of the world, but also you've got Raheem Morris now taking over that franchise. Do you think from that perspective now with a new head coach that, although he's been a head coach before, but with a new head coach here in Atlanta, that that was also another reason that they wanted some more continuity with somebody who'd been in the league as long as Kirk Cousins has, with the level of success that he has had in the regular season anyways?
Oh, of course. That played a factor into it. On top of, you're in win now mode, right? You don't have time for development right now with this roster with the Atlanta Falcons, because like I said, you know, this is going to be Kyle Pitts' fourth year. He had 1,000 yards in his first year when Matt Ryan was the veteran quarterback. He hasn't been able to be unlocked in the last two. So you don't have time to be wasting while you have all these guys young right now. And you look at who they've been able to draft, whether it's Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. You need these guys to be maximized when it comes to their talents while they're still young on their rookie contracts. You don't have time to be wasting. So it's win now for Atlanta, not, hey, let's continue to build and see if we can win later on. No, they're in win now mode.
Harry, I said earlier I think Derrick Henry might be one of the two or three best signings in free agency. He goes to Baltimore really to solidify their running game in addition to their best running back, who's also maybe the best quarterback. How big a deal do you think that is?
Huge. Man, me and Freddie Coleman talked about this earlier. Now Lamar Jackson actually has a closer, right? And I don't think we can sit here and say he's had that. His time that he spent in the National Football League. Also, yeah. Todd Monken, when you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you can't get amnesia and forget about the run game like he did in the playoff game versus the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. You have a Derrick Henry, you have a guy that literally, when Baltimore had the number one seed, put the team on his back throughout that entire playoffs and got the Titans to the AFC Championship game. But you have a guy that you can lean on now. Right. And don't have to let Lamar Jackson have to, you know, create everything and be at the forefront of everything. You have a guy that literally, when you had the number one seed, came into your stadium, rushed for 195 and left out with a W, and you had no answer for it. So now you think about Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry being paired up together. And I love the addition of Keaton Mitchell, who can be that offset back and bring another dimension to the game with his explosion, his quickness from the running back position as well.
Harry Douglas joining us here on Amber and Ian. You can hear him, of course, Monday through Friday, Freddie and Harry, every afternoon here on ESPN Radio. We've seen some big names cross enemy lines during this free agency period here, HD. Obviously, Saquon Barkley. I don't know if you saw how Tiki Barber reacted to that, but we know how fans react to these things. Aaron Jones as well. So from a player perspective, you played for the Titans, you played for the Falcons. From a player perspective, are you ever affected by the fan reaction of switching teams or how the old fans feel about you from your former team? Does any of that ever factor in, or are you just focused on your pockets?
No. No, because when your family's at the forefront and you have to make the best decision, you know, for you and your family moving forward, you have to do that, because anybody else in every other, you know, I would say job that they would have, they would do the same thing. You're going to do what's best for you and your family. And for Saquon, he wanted to stay with the New York Giants. He felt like he wasn't valued amongst that organization, so he had to go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now he's going to be able to have playmakers around him and not have to be the focal point when it comes to defenses, the opposing team defenses coming in, when you have the weapons that Philly has. And I think from a team perspective for Philadelphia, now you can get back to your 2002 game, right? Getting back to you know, what was at the forefront of it. That's running the football and Jalen Hurts being healthy and being part of that run game, that zone read, that RPO game, and you can move forward. Now, I think defensively, I just seen they got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'm really glad they brought him back because the safety position, secondary, is a thing of need. They were horrible last year when it came to pass defense, third down defense. They couldn't stop a nosebleed, even if they had all kind of, tissues up their nose. It was still going to bleed out. So I just think for this football team, they also lost two leaders in Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. That's something to be said, man. They got to figure out some things defensively still. But from an offensive standpoint, I'm not going to be worried about them. But the pressure is on Nick Sirianni and offensive play caller Kellen Moore.
Absolutely. That pressure is on. There are a lot of teams now that the pressure is on. I mean, heck, I think the Falcons' expectations also just increased here with this Kirk Cousins acquisition. Harry Douglas, you can hear him 3 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday here on ESPN Radio on Freddie and Harry, of course. He played for the Falcons, former Falcons wide receiver. Thanks, HD.
No, thank y'all. Amber, I miss you, girl.
I miss you too, Harry.
Oh, we got it.
There we go.
There we go.
What's up, everybody? Little Rachel 112.
And the ones and twos. Excellent song. I mean, y'all youngins don't know, but if you don't know, now you know. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Goldhammer filling in for Ian. Is this really what all in looks like for the Dallas Cowboys? We'll talk about it next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you ever get the spam texts where it's somebody and they try to say, you know, like they send you a text and then you write back, who is this? Because they act like they know you.
Right.
And then you write back, who is this? And then they write back, oh, you know, sorry, do you remember?
Number, blah, blah,
or they'll
blah,
like say blah, blah, yeah. blah. But then they try to spark up a conversation with you.
Uh-huh.
And then inevitably, if you entertain it, they always send you a picture of an attractive woman. They yep. always say, oh, you know, you don't remember me. Are you sure you gave uh-huh. me? I was certain this was the right number. And then they send you what's supposed to be a selfie of
I've
like a hot
chick. I've been
carrying
on a relationship with somebody for 6 months that's been doing this and I keep sending them money. You're telling me this girl isn't real?
She's not real, people. Okay. It's all a scam. Okay. The cute woman that is allegedly texting you is not in fact a cute woman texting you. She didn't accidentally text the wrong number and do not send her money. There is my PSA.
I got one today, Amber, that said, do you want to go to the gala with me?
Of course.
And what's funny is I deleted it because it's from a number that I don't recognize. If I get a text from a number I don't recognize or a call in this day and age, I don't answer it. I delete it. I don't. You leave me a voicemail if you really need something. Prove to me that you know who the heck I am when you're calling me. So, but the answer was no, I don't want to go to any gala. Does anyone
like that's not the way to get me.
Yeah, like really? You want to get me excited about going to a gala? That sounds like hell.
I just 10 seconds ago got a text. I've been right before we went back on air. I've been trying to connect with you. Can you talk now from a number I don't know? Uh-huh. So I know what's coming. So I write back, who is this? And then we'll see. And then we're going to go down this path. And I like these games. So I'll go down this path. And then normally
Amber.
I'll tell the person. I'll tell them, you know, you only have one life to live and you're spending it trying to scam people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'll look, try to give them some sort of lecture on the back
end.
You
got to be careful.
And then I never hear from them again.
You got to be careful. And then we'll talk about the Cowboys here momentarily because, you know, ESPN wants
us
to.
Because it's the Cowboys.
Because it's all about the Cowboys. But I just want to be clear to everybody. The minute that you think that you're too smart to get scammed by one of these scams, that's when it's going to happen to you.
That's so when they're out they have there my listening. Phone number, so they've drained my bank account.
Have a healthy sense of skepticism if somebody's on the phone with you, and don't think that you're too smart, because even if you're young and you think you're tech savvy and they only do this to old people and that, nope, you got to have a healthy skepticism about you. Otherwise, it can happen to anybody.
Everything these days is a catfish or a scam if you don't know them and you've never met them in person.
Yep.
Move it along. All right. Uh-huh. Speaking of moving along, we've got a lot to try to update you on. So there's a lot that's been happening around the NFL. The Steelers traded Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. So, hey, Carolina, Rachel Robinson, our AP tonight. There you go. Something thrown your way as a Panthers fan. Been a little rough, a little tough sledding there for the Panthers. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has signed with the Eagles a three-year deal worth $33 million.
Good player.
Patrick Mahomes has restructured his contract to make the already great and already rich Kansas City Chiefs even richer. It's created over $21 million in cap space, so they can go get even better. That's what we all need.
What
in
a
our
leader!
Lives.
What a quarterback! Just the perfect football player. I just,
he's going to keep doing this, obviously, and they can keep kicking the ball forward, because I have a feeling in 5 years, Amber, who do you think the quarterback of the Chiefs is going to be? Patrick Mahomes.
Clearly.
In 10 years, who do you think the quarterback of the Chiefs is going to be? Patrick Mahomes. So they can keep creating space, and they need the space to be able to sign Chris Jones to $95 million contracts. But also, you watch, I bet there's a receiver or two, either in a trade or the draft or something. They are going to bolster that room, despite the fact that they won the Super Bowl with the worst wide receivers in the entire NFL this past year.
Yeah, well, they find different ways, right? Like this way, the way was defense, frankly, that they got to the Super Bowl and that they won a Super Bowl. Let's invest in our defense. And then you saw them do that by locking up Chris Jones as well this offseason. So they're still maintaining that. But Mahomes giving them more cap space. It's what you have to do when you sign the guy to the monster deal, the quarterback, because you hit on him. When you sign him to the monster deal, you have to hope that he's going to help you out down the line as well and restructure that thing and restructure it and restructure it. We saw it with Tom Brady over and over and over again. It was part of the reason that the Patriots were as successful as they were. And apparently Patrick Mahomes following that same philosophy. He's willing to play ball in hopes that it gets him more rings. So a lot has happened in the NFL for most teams, not so much for the Dallas Cowboys, who have done a whole lot of nothing so far this week. Remember Jerry Jones? He owns the Dallas Cowboys. Remember what he said on January 31st? Let me remind you.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in.
Okay. So all in, I guess, means being the only team in the entire NFL that yesterday, when the legal tampering period started at noon, they were the only team in the entire NFL that didn't make a single transaction.
Well, he said they were all in on retaining their existing guys. I don't know that he meant that they would be all in going after free agents. But Amber, I'm already, if I'm a Cowboy fan, concerned that Jerry's not really all in, because he didn't do the one thing that I think the Cowboys need the most, which isn't a pass rusher opposite Micah Parsons, in addition to the secondary, the line, or the wide receivers. I think the Cowboys need a new head coach. And I'm surprised they didn't can Mike McCarthy after that disastrous playoff showing. And I'm convinced until they get a real coach in there, I don't think they're going to be able to win in the playoffs and go where Jerry so desperately wants to one more time before he leaves this earth.
Well, and now you have Mike McCarthy coaching on a lame duck contract this season. Does that mean they're going to get a better result from McCarthy, or maybe a worse result, right? Is he going to be more motivated, less motivated? Is Dak going to be just playing on the final year of his deal with a monster cap hit against them? Are they going to be able to actually work out an extension with Dak, which frankly, from the Cowboys' perspective, they need to desperately do, but they haven't made any headway there. And considering their cap situation in Dallas, frankly, I didn't expect them to be able to go all in on terms of flashy free agents, but a lot of people did. Think that they were going to get a Derrick Henry or a Saquon Barkley. Obviously, that ship has sailed, and that has not been Dallas's MO here recently. Coming up next here, my favorite topic, Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears again and again.